We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. Thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely to have you company. Now in the studio today, I have a very special guest, none other than the celebrity dog trainer and PR guru that is Sharon Bolt. We love our dogs, don't we? So I think a dog trainer whose mission is to train owners in the art of kindness and patience with their dogs has got to be a person well worth listening to. Sharon has a fascinating story to tell that also encompasses her journey as a bit of a PR guru and how she's also started a PR business on the back of the amazing coverage that she secured for her business as a celebrity dog trainer. So Sharon, a warm welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Hello, Dee. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure, lovely. I want to just start by asking you, I guess there's two questions in one here. What initially inspired you to become a dog trainer? And was there a defining moment that made you realise that this could be a really rewarding career for you?
Yeah, well, actually, Dee, it happened back in 2004. Now, at the time, I had a complementary therapy practice. So I practiced therapies such as kinesiology, nutrition, NLP. I did the journey, and I'm also a Reiki master. Now, I loved it. I got to play a part in people's sometimes miracle healings. And I just really believed that in order for me to help people, I had to be, I couldn't have the same problem as they did. So I'd already embarked on my own personal development journey like years earlier. I'd been on a 4-week pilgrimage across India. I'd been on retreats. So I was really working on me in order to help others. Now, at this time, my hubby and I, we decided to get 2 8-week-old Parson Russell Terrier puppies. They were boys from the same litter. Now, oh, it was just a joy, Dee, because we brought them home. They were so cute. They were adorable. They had all this puppy breath. And then within a week, it started to go downhill. They were just running riot, really. They were chewing the furniture. They were toileting everywhere. Of course, it was times two because I had twins in dog form. Our arms were covered in bites and scratches, so we knew that we needed to get some socialisation classes. So when I started to look for these puppy classes, I actually ended up speaking to several different trainers because unbeknown to me, this was very popular and they were all full. Now, when I actually said, Dee, what I actually had, these two lovely Parson Terrier boys from the same litter, they all said the same thing back to me. And that was that I'd taken on the worst case scenario, that they'd fight for the top dog position, that it would get nasty, and I'd very likely need to rehome one. Now, as you can imagine, I was devastated. I just couldn't believe it. I'd got these adorable bundles of fluff, and now I was being told to give one up. Now, I was determined that this was not going to be my experience. So I remember it clearly, Dee. I put one in one hand, one in the other of these lovely puppies. I looked lovingly into their gorgeous, trusting faces and I said out loud to them, "You two are not going anywhere." Now, I didn't have a plan, Dee. I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew it had to be something different than conventional dog training because so many dog trainers had painted such a bleak picture to me. And I also knew that it had to be kind without shouting, hitting or forcing. So that's when I embarked on this whole mission to keep my beautiful, lovely little puppies. So I studied, I enrolled in courses, and I watched intently of how my two dogs were communicating with others, with each other. So what happened was, as things started to develop, there was lots of trial and error, but I was watching as to how my dogs were becoming calm and relaxed and just getting on so well together. There wasn't a cross word. All that manic behaviour started to go. They were responding to me and looking at me as the top dog. It was just getting better and better and better. So I started to introduce dog training classes to my complementary therapy clients who had problem dogs. And that's when they started to get amazing results too. So it was at that stage, Dee, that I knew that I was onto something.
Do you know, I think that is just fantastic, Sharon. I love it when I talk to an inspiring business founder and they share their story, actually what led them to where they are today. And I hear your story about those two little dogs and I can imagine you holding them in each hand. And it's like almost adversity and this dreadful situation you had been, well, found yourself in with the dogs and that awful pronouncement that you would have to give one away. It actually brought forth your creativity and your resourcefulness. And I just love how you turned that into a successful business. And I want to now turn to that interview because your journey has really fascinated me. I empathize and I really do find myself so aligned with you when I hear you speak. But let's now turn to, I call it that interview, which changed the course of your career. Tell me how you secured it because I just think our listeners will love the story.
Well, it was a couple of years, Dee, into the journey and things were going really well. I had beautifully behaved dogs. Everything was going really well. And I was so passionate now about dog training. I wanted to reach everybody. I wanted to go to the corners of the world and tell them about my methods and my training. But of course, I had no business. I was still doing the complementary therapy practice. And I was just looking for ways that I could just make a difference. And then there was this one day, Dee, my hubby was listening to the Chris Evans show on BBC Radio 2. And he said that he was going to get a professional dog trainer on the show the following week. Now, I thought to myself, do you know what? I could do that. I could absolutely do that. This is an opportunity that I want. So what I did is I sat down and I wrote, I typed out this pitch, really. I knew nothing about pitching. I had no media training. I just had nothing. But I just wrote this down on the paper and I sent it to their email address on their website. And I just put on there, I used the tone of the show and it was very lighthearted and fun. And I explained why dogs do what they do and how I could help their listeners. And I said, you need to get me on your show. So I sent it off and I got nothing. So a day went past and I thought, you know what, I'm going to follow it up. I'm going to do another one. So again, I followed my same format. You know, the clock was ticking and I thought, I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity. So I sat down and I wrote another letter. And again, just followed that where I made it all about them and their listeners, why dogs misbehaved, made it fun and lighthearted and said, you know, you've got to get me on your show. Sent that off. And I think that was on the Friday then. So I heard nothing back on that Friday. And of course, it was the following Wednesday they were going to get somebody. So at the weekend, I thought, no, I'm going to email them again. So I sat down and I went all again. And that's when I sent that off, that third one. On the Monday morning, they called me and they said, Sharon, we love this. We want to get you on the show. 2 days later, I was sitting in the London studio just explaining about dog training in front of millions and millions of listeners.
Wow, that is just an incredible story. And I admire you as well for your guts and your gumption. And it's something that as a PR person, I've had to do it all my life, is that you identify an opportunity and you think, I'm really going to go for this. I will give it my all, then hand over as to what will happen. But I just think it's fabulous that suddenly you're there in front of millions of, well, not lit in front, you're obviously behind, you're in the radio station, but that is just incredible. And we've got a few moments to the advertising break. Just to share, how did you feel when you were in that studio? Were you nervous? Was you excited?
I was excited. I was so excited. I'd really focused myself, Dee, that this was something really good. I'd made sure I hadn't shared this information with others that might reflect back to me their own fears of if it goes wrong, it's live and all that type of thing. So I'd really stayed focused. I told myself a really good story that this was going to be amazing. It was going to change things. It was going to be life-changing for me. So I was focused and excited.
Fantastic. Now we're just going to go to a short break, but don't go anywhere, because after the break, we'll be talking about Sharon and her celebrity clients and also about her positive can-do mentality on life and business.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show. And today I have got the fabulous Sharon Bolt, celebrity dog trainer, in the studio with me. Now, Sharon, I know you can't name your celebrity clients, but can you tell us a little bit about their dogs and about some of the experiences, of course, without naming names?
Yeah, as you say, Dee, I can't mention names, but I can say that we're talking about a global pop star and a household name. And just the lovely thing, Dee, about celebrities is that no matter who they are, they still struggle with dog training just like the rest of us. They still have problems with pulling on the lead, separation anxiety, barking. They have exactly the same as we do. Now, this particular celebrity that I'm talking about is extremely well known all over the world. But the lovely thing is, Dee, their dog just doesn't care. So when I was teaching them about how to train their dog in a kind and gentle way, how to learn how to speak dog, how to tick their dog's boxes, and when I was empowering them as the dog owner of how to really work with their dog, I did it exactly the same as I do if I speak to anybody else. They're just the same as we are, Dee.
Did you find, Sharon, that having, you know, sort of celebrity clients, that it really propelled your career? And also the radio show, something that we haven't touched on yet, is there must have been an amazing reaction to you being on a radio show with millions of listeners. So how did that whole combined thing of the famous clients and the exposure from the show, how did that have a positive impact on your career as a dog trainer?
Well, the interesting thing is, Dee, is once I'd been on the radio show, so BBC Radio 2, I mean, that changed my business overnight. Good Dogs was born on the back of it. You know, before I had no business, then I had a business more or less overnight. I was credible. I'd gone from unknown to being credible. And it wasn't that long after this, the radio show, that I heard this particular pop star talking on the radio saying she had problems with her dog. So what I did is I used the BBC Radio 2 interview as I wrote to this celebrity. There was two postal addresses on the website. And what I did is I put on the top as featured on BBC Radio 2. And that's what gave me the credibility. At this stage, I still didn't have the, you know, a website or anything else. But when I spoke to this person later and said, why did you choose me? They told me that they were actually recommended somebody else by their management company. But they went with me because they saw that I'd been featured on BBC Radio 2, which to them meant I must be good.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking as I'm listening to you, so much of your story and that of any business founder is that we really have to back ourselves big time and believe in ourselves, don't we? That ultimately we might surround ourselves with positive people, but it begins with us. And you've really had to back yourself, haven't you? Because you came at this from having these two gorgeous little dogs. You've trained them. You've discovered you've got this alchemy for dog training. Then the next thing, you're on a radio show. But you make it sound easy. And I know none of this is easy, having sort of walked a similar path. So much of what you do, Sharon, is backing yourself, isn't it, as a business leader, as an entrepreneur?
Yes, that's I think the key, Dee. It is so much the key. And how I do it is I always think that I have to be my biggest cheerleader. It's lovely to surround myself with positive and really lovely people that are going to back me too. And I think that's lovely. But people are busy. You know, there's times where you need that type of support and they're busy doing their own lives. So I've always focused on me being my own cheerleader. And what that looks like for me is I tell myself positive affirmations. And I really big it up, you know. People listening to me will think, oh, my goodness, who does she think she is? Because it's like I go overboard, you know, I really back myself, but it's usually in my head. Sometimes I might say it out loud if I'm out dog walking or something like that, but it's really in my head and it's a continuous practice. You know, I think confidence and positivity is really about practicing that muscle of the mind. You know, we go to the gym and we lift weights and we regularly work out and we get those muscles in the body nice and exactly how we like them. The same is for me is about practicing that body, that muscle in the mind. And you do that by continuously doing repetitions of positive affirmations and how good you are. And yes, I can do it. And I've got this and I've done it before and it came out really well. And just get on a rampage and a roll of how good you are. I know it sounds different to what we're used to. We're told to be humble. We're told to not be big-headed. So keep it in your head.
I absolutely love that. And I am so with you about positive affirmations. They have played a huge part in my life because I always think my natural default position is fear and am I good enough? It stems from childhood and I've had to really book that negative thinking over the years. And one of the ways I've done it is with positive affirmations. So for example, if I'm about to go on a very big public speaking gig, it's to stand in front of that mirror and to tell myself that you're wonderful, you've earned this, you're going to deliver huge value to the people that are going to be watching you. And recently I've been invited to do a TEDx talk and my first reaction was, I can't do that, I'm not good enough. Then I had to think, hang on a minute, where is this coming from? It's the old tapes that are saying to you, are you really that good? And because I've had them all my life, that almost becomes like a muscle that the more you practice it, the more that negativity can reign supreme. And I just love that about the muscle of the mind. I also talk in that way as well. And positive affirmations. I think I've mentioned before on the show that I read an amazing book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. And that has really helped me. And today I recognize that my default position is to be very self-critical, to be negative. And so now I'm like, okay, that's fine. But let's introduce an altogether more positive train of thinking. to swat out all that negativity. So I just love the fact, and I've been around you now for a few months, and you are one of the most positive people, naturally positive as well, that I have met. And I just want to go back now, we've got a minute before the next break, that, you know, you really have grown this. You're a celebrity dog trainer, but you really have grown your business, and you've recently taken it into licensed courses. And we've got a minute, and I'd love you to share a bit more about that, because that to me shows your entrepreneurial vision. So share more.
Yes, well, this started, well, several years ago. I hired a professional production company, and we spent 30 days doing dog training consultations, and they just filmed me. So this became not only DVDs, but also online courses. Now, I've got my online courses on Udemy, and I currently have 26,000 students across 175 different countries. And I just love that. So I know what it takes to create a great course, and also how much it costs, you know, what with time and money. So that's what I do. I do a very limited amount of licensing of these courses to other pet professionals so that they can brand them, their own courses, they sell them on their own site, and they keep 100% of the profits for life.
Wow, I love that. Now, don't go away. We're coming up to another short break, because after the break, Sharon's going to be talking about the PR business that she has founded based on her incredible experience at securing radio shows and column inches in magazines. And of course, she's going to flip the tables and ask me a question.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and my fabulous guest in the studio today, Sharon Bolt, the celebrity dog trainer. Now, proving that she is a real entrepreneur, Sharon has also founded a PR business which is grounded in the incredible expertise and the results that she has actually got from her own dog, celebrity dog business. So tell me, Sharon, let's talk a little bit more about this PR business. What's it all about? Because PR, you know, public, is it, do you call it public relations or profile raising or press relations? I just would love to know, what led you to the point that you thought, actually, I could launch another business? Tell me more.
Well, after the BBC Radio 2 interview, and then celebrity clients came on board, and I started to then just pitch other different media outlets. And I wanted to go big. So I've been on in The Guardian, the Independent, the Daily Mail, plus radio stations also. I've had a BBC radio phone-in slot on and off for about 14, 15 years now. So it just got more and more and more. You know, it was that momentum, and that it just was an effect. But I noticed that I was fine-tuning, and I was coming up with a format that was really working. So, of course, other business owners and entrepreneurs around me were saying, what are you doing? How are you getting so much publicity? So it was about 12 years ago, Dee, Get Free Publicity Today was born. And that became about me sharing what I've discovered that really works with other, it's really established entrepreneurs that I tend to work with now. But, you know, for wherever we are in the stage of the game, just sharing my insights and what I've found in order to get them into a place where they are going to get lots of publicity. So it was really on the back of just really getting just exciting about the publicity I was getting, sharing it with other people, and that became a second business.
That's amazing, because as you know, I do quite a bit with PR, and often I find when I work with an entrepreneur that they're quite media shy. And so one of the things that I have to do, I had it with one particular CEO of a global brand, and his first reaction when I said, we need to get your face out there, we need to have you recording great videos and talking about trends in your sector and market research, and we need to be getting interviews with you in magazines, that his first reaction was, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be out there. Thankfully, he capitulated, and he actually loved the PR. He was recording video. I got him into different magazines. And do you find when you are talking to an entrepreneur, are they quite reticent about coming forward? You know, they're great at being the actual belt and braces of their business, the doing of the work, the motivating of their teams. But when it comes to actually stepping onto a more dazzling media platform, they are a little bit reluctant. I just wonder what the kind of reactions are that you get from these entrepreneurs.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Dee. Some will embrace it with open arms. That tends to be the more extroverted people. But of course, the more introverted people, yes, they want to be behind the scenes more. So it very much depends on their personality types and also their mindset. I really focus on people's mindsets, because even an extrovert can sabotage themselves by having a negative mindset of how it's going to go wrong. So really what I look to do is I mentor people in order to get them where they want to be. So I don't like to, you know, dilute their voice in any way. I like to be their cheerleader, and so that they can build the relationships with journalists. But it's very much listening to where they are and then bringing them through and forward, both with knowledge and techniques, but predominantly also the mindset.
I love that. And I just wondered, how important do you think is media training for these entrepreneurs? Because I can recall I went up to the Institute of Directors and I was being filmed for a series of videos, and there was the head of a bank, huge bank, who was on before me. And I watched through the window, and he had page after page of notes, and they all fell on the floor, and he was kind of bumbling and fumbling. And I can remember thinking, gosh, for a bank of that size and such an important person, he definitely needed media training, because having a whole sheaf of notes that are balanced on your knee is never going to end in a good way. I just wondered, when you get a new client, is part of your role doing an assessment of their ability to perform in front of the media and then developing media training for them?
Yes, 100%, Dee. And yes, it is really important. Now, obviously, when I did the BBC Radio 2 interview, I didn't have any media training at all. But I do think it is important because, yes, you don't want to just be fumbling along and saying things that are going to be irrelevant to the audience. You need to be able to build a rapport and also to tell something about yourself that, you know, some bits are interesting, others aren't to people. So, yes, it's very much about building that whole media and setup where you know the media training is very, very important. And that's exactly what I do, because it's what I offer is obviously very bespoke. So some people really need that. Some people need help with pitching. Some people just need a cheerleader. So it all depends on where somebody is. But yes, talking in sound bites and having your media messages is an important part for anybody that's doing any type of media interviews.
I agree. And I think that advice can apply to a small business owner that can't necessarily afford PR training, or a person that works for an organisation and suddenly they find themselves thrust into the media spotlight. Now, before you flip the table and ask me a question, I don't know what question you're going to ask me. I just want to ask you, how do you live well? So the show is Lead Well, Live Well. How do you live well?
Well, I love anything health and fitness. I've got a diploma in nutrition, so I love all that type of stuff. I play badminton weekly. I've got a big brother. He's 6'2", so I have to really work at it. So I love doing that weekly. I go to the gym and I go lane swimming. I've always loved swimming. And of course, I walk my dog daily. So I keep nice and fit in that way. I've also been following a ketogenic way of eating and intermittent fasting for about 18 months. I love this. It really suits me and my lifestyle. You know, I don't even call it a diet, Dee. It is a lifestyle. You know, I get to eat all the food I love. I never count calories or weigh food. I don't even weigh myself. I just go by my clothes. And I have great energy and I feel really good. So that's really, I just love anything to do with health and nutrition. So I do really focus on that. It's a big part in my life.
It sounds like you've got every piece in the puzzle there, Sharon. And I just want to sneak an extra question in about your dog, because I'm sure that listeners will want to know about your dog. So tell us more before you ask me the question.
Well, obviously, it's Basil and Jake were the two Parson Russell Terriers. But of course, that was 22 years ago. So they're both in doggy heaven. Their legacy lives on so much through my online courses, my DVDs and everything that I teach. But it was about 7 years. No, it'd be about 5 years ago now. We got a rescue dog called Denzel. He's so gorgeous. He's a Staffy Lab cross, we believe. He came with so many issues. He was so hyper. I'd walk into the kitchen and he was walking along the tabletops. He was territorial. He would bark and glare at people when they came in the home. He pulled like a steam train down the road. So he came with all the things that that you don't want. But of course, I was in a position to be able to put the training in. And today, oh my goodness, Dee, he's just the most loving, loyal, best friend of a dog that I could ever, ever wish for.
You know, I love that. I was thinking when you were answering that you started your business on the strength of those two little gorgeous dogs that you had. And like now here you are with a rescue dog, putting all that knowledge and love and expertise. And I think what I like about you, Sharon, is that what really drew me to you when we initially met was that you talk about kindness, that you train the owners in being kind and patient with their dogs. And in what can be a harsh world, I just think that is such a positive message that I love your ethos. But now the tables are being turned. And I've got to say to listeners that I never know what a guest is going to ask me. So if I start bumbling and fumbling, you know that I'm a rabbit in the headlights. But Sharon, what is your question for me?
Well, Dee, you're a number one best-selling author of 5 marketing books. And by the way, your latest book, You're the Best, is brilliant. I've read it. 5 stars I gave it on Amazon. I love it. Now, you're also doing this show, the UK Health Radio show, Lead Well, Live Well, and you've got an upcoming TEDx talk. Now, I could go on and on and on. I mean, you've done so many things. Needless to say, you're an extremely talented and successful lady. So this is what I would like to know, Dee. If you had a fairy godmother, what would you wish for right now?
Oh, my goodness me. Do you mean what would I wish for me right
yes.
now?
Yes. Yes. And your business.
Right. I think, which is probably my first thought is more faith in my abilities, which sounds a bit weird because I realise if I look at myself on paper and the things I've achieved, it's all very laudable. But I think that I would wish for more confidence and faith in my abilities, especially when I am put in the firing line of something completely new. So to give an example of the TEDx talk, that when the organisers invited me to do a TEDx talk, my first thought was, no, I can't do that. I'm not this, I'm not that. And I had to then go through the process that I've shared with you earlier in the show of saying, come on now, you are good enough. Likewise, when Johan, who's the founder of UK Health Radio, when he approached me and said, we'd love you to front a business show, Dee, and you can do what you like. You can invite very many, you know, as many different guests on as you like with a connection of business. Again, my first thought was, I can't do that. It was no. And I, at times, I have to concede, I get really frustrated with myself and think, oh my goodness me, here we go again. So if I had a magic wand, it would not be for money or stuff like that, because I always think that they're the symbols on the map. Fundamentally, it's about me as a human being and my DNA. So I wish I could just, when an opportunity is presented to me, go, yes, I'd love to do it. And I do it when I'm presented with what I call things I've done all my life, like writing for the media, even writing books. It's very natural to me as a writer to sit down and write a book and get it out there, because I class myself as a writer. So that's kind of a long-winded answer. I just think that I would love it if sometimes when I'm presented with an opportunity, I go, absolutely, absolutely, I would love to do it. And I think some of it is just fear of failure. As I say, I've had it from being a little girl, and it does get better. So whereas I might say in my mind, no, I actually say yes. My mind is saying no, and my voice is going, yeah, absolutely, I would love to do that. And I'm kind of squeaking as I'm saying it. But I also know that with practice, like, I'm loving doing the show now. I just love the fact I'm meeting so many amazing people. And I think just accept that nerves and a bit of fear is part of the process. But I really love that question. I think I love these questions because they make me think on the spot, and I tend to trust the first answer that comes into my head. So that was just a great question that I really appreciate. And have you got a quote that you would like to share from, it could be a person that's inspired you or something you've read in a book? I'd just love to end it on that before I say goodbye to you.
Well, I think your answer to the question, Dee, firstly, was just amazing. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, because that was just wonderful. And I love that you do say yes, regardless that it's no in your head. So keep going. You're doing fantastic. So my quote, Dee, is from Henry Ford, which is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Also,
I've got a backup quote, Dee. It's He Who Dares Wins by Del Trotter from Only Fools and Horses.
That's fabulous. Sharon, it's been an absolute delight having you on the show. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dee.
Right. Well, what an interview and what a woman. And I just want to close the show by talking about you, really just flicking the switch on you now. And it's about believing that you're deserving of good things. And I'm actually watching a documentary series at the moment following professional golfers on and off the circuit. I just find it fascinating, even though I don't play golf. Now, one of the golfers was sharing how he'd taken on a coach to help him with his emotions, not just around his game of golf, but around life in general. I think his mum had passed away and he was really struggling, and it was affecting how he played golf. And I just loved the quote from his coach. I scribbled it down. We must believe good things will happen to us and that we're deserving of good things. I think this is really simple advice, but how often do you overlook this? You know, you can prepare yourself for the prospect of failing at something, even when you're working your hardest to propel it to success. It's almost like a pair of comfy slippers, isn't it? I think sometimes we do it to protect ourselves from perceived criticism. Hey, I knew it wasn't going to work. I beat you to it. But when you start to visualize success, in this case, in work projects, I think not only do you feel a whole lot better about yourself, but you're also cultivating a mindset which influences your thoughts, then your behaviors and your actions. So today's little takeout from me is I really want you to believe that good things are going to happen to you, and most importantly, that you absolutely are deserving of success. Thank you so much for joining me today. Do get in touch with me on LinkedIn and Facebook. Share your feedback. I'd love to feature it on future shows. But for now, that's me closing out Dee Blick for UK Health Radio.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.